mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast episode 427. I'm Adam, and drop the sonic device. And here's Rhys Parton.
For the last night or two, fortune has made me itinerant.
I didn't remember any French people being in the show. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Why are Earth people so parochial?
And Mary Lang.
Thievery is a matter of stealth, not hearty greetings.
And hopefully we'll get Debbie's later. That's what she said.
I was planning on drop the sonic device, and you stole it from me.
Tough.
The good thing Richard Mace was in this story, because there are plenty of worthwhile quotes. Yeah.
When you said good thing, I thought you were going to finish that sentence with Winceless last looked out for some reason. Then you went, good thing went Richard Mace. Oh, never mind. I think that's really weird. Right then. So, yes, this week we are visiting Visitation. Now, if I thought about it, it probably would have been a good idea to visit Visitation and Black Orchid together, because that's how they came in video format, in a double video pack. They came out together.
I'm okay with just four
Black
episodes.
Orchid is just two episodes, but we're going to do it as one. I'm not quite bothered to do Black Orchid and then Earthshock after that, isn't it, if I remember rightly?
Never seen that one.
I'm not sure. Let me look at the...
Pretty sure it is. I think it's Earthshock after Black Orchid.
Yes, yes, Earthshock.
Wiki, here we come.
Yeah, Black Orchid does come next.
Yes.
And then, yeah. Then Earthshock.
Yes. So,
I never realized that Adric was in so few stories.
Did you not?
Yeah, it's...
That's the end of that conversation. Then.
Somehow I thought he was in a lot more.
Well, some people will say thank goodness for that. Not me.
So far, I haven't seen him get annoying yet.
So, yeah, yes. I agree.
I haven't seen him getting annoying yet.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had any problem with him. He's not, you know, the annoying.
He's not as bad as people paint him, is he? Let's face it. And Matthew Waterhouse is alright. He's nice. He's a nice chap to have dinner with. Oh, hang on. I've got strange. The thing about my online DVD player, that's the thing that comes with my Mac, when you stop an episode, it goes back about 10 minutes into the previous episode you watched, so weird. Ooh. Anyway, so we're looking at Visitation, which we... Are you all right, everybody ready? Don't matter if you're not, yep. I'm going to do it anyway.
Ready.
Hopefully Debbie will join us in about 10 minutes. Hope she won't mind, we've already started.
We hope.
So the first scene is a sort of very dark and dingy candle. Oh, for God's sake, I didn't even get into the blooming scene, for God's sake!
This isn't about that.
Oh.
I don't see the video feed. I mean, I don't watch it, but I don't see it.
Oh, I've got the video feed.
I get a notification about it.
Pretty sure
I don't have notification.
It is where it is, where it's supposed to be. So there you go.
Oh, on the group.
Yes.
Well, just refresh your page.
I tried to do that.
When you stop talking about technical stuff? Right, back to where I was.
There it is.
Watching my video feed will not help you watch or keep up with where we are on the episode. That's the first time ever I've been interrupted by nothing to do with what we're actually talking about. Right, where were we?
Don't
I sound like Peter Davison when he gets...
I'll
be quiet. When Peter Davison gets curt with Tegan, or the Doctor, sorry, gets curt with Tegan, it was that sort of tone of voice. I thought I put that across quite well. Right, where were we? All right, so the first scene, like I tried to say a few moments ago, is a sort of candle-lit sort of scene. I tend to find watching this video back on the Mac, it's very strange lighting on the video. I don't know if they've rendered the video a bit weird for the DVD, but it's some scenes are very blue. This one's very yellow and orange. But anyway, I suppose it would be
candle lit. It works.
But anyway, yeah, it's a strange sort of scene with gentlemen with wigs and stuck on tashes. And it reminded me a little bit of a sort of Blackadder scene, apart from it's not quite as well
lit. This is what I thought, yeah.
Yes, well, the BBC costume room, I'm sure, is loaded with all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. So basically, they're in the house, and people... I like this scene because it's just people sort of biding their time as they would have done in the 17th century. Before they get killed. It's just, you think, there's no TV, nothing, no really entertainment for your average peasant, is there? Or average sort of quite well-off people, as these people were. What would they do? They just by their time playing chess in with candlelight. Oh, I think it's a really, really good scene. Just sort of before, yes. Obviously, there's a light in the sky, and then
yeah.
a big
and fireworks.
And fireworks, yeah.
Yes.
And then you get that chap from Coronation Street going. Basically, that's his dialogue before he gets done in. Yes. Anybody shows him any
attention. He's coughing, yes.
Acting like he just woke up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Daddy, I love you. Have a cuddle. yeah, so that was his dialogue. He just certainly didn't do it. Well, that wasn't his catchphrase in Coronation Street. I think it was like, I said. It was a bit like there was a cartoon character that talked like that. Anyway, but yeah, he had his catchphrase was to clear his throat, obviously, in this story. Yeah, so... So I'm moving on because I've got to enjoy this scene. Oh yeah, and then there's the big explosion. Then there's something creepy in the house that's a bit scary, and they get their guns, and it's a strange sort of man in armor, which we find later to be an android. Very beautiful
very pretty,
design.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Or even with the cricket gloves. Very beautiful design.
I did. Okay, Master.
Oh God, here we go.
I didn't. Did not realize they were cricket gloves because we don't see cricket gloves here in the States. So, yeah, I saw comments like in like the behind the sofa documentary. They were referring to the cricket gloves, and the infotext was referring to the cricket gloves way later.
But did you not notice the cricket ball in the previous story?
We don't know what cricket gloves are, so they were just gloves.
Yes. Debbie says, dial me in.
Oh, Tate, say, hey, Mary, write back to her. Do we have to?
go on.
Go on. Go on, do it. It's got to be done.
Alan might be upset.
Okay, we're dialing her in. Now we have to come back. Because Kirby's actually delayed everything so much, we've only actually got 4 minutes into the episode when the podcast has been running for 10 minutes. Shouldn't really be surprised of that, should I? We can go into a normal introduction for Mrs. Melrose. Are you there, Mrs. Melrose?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, dear. We can't have everything covered.
You returned from 1915?
Yes, it was brilliant.
What?
A bit harrowing, but not bad.
Right, hang on, we've got to do an introduction. And Debbie Melrose.
I said empathise, not be silly.
Well done for not picking anybody else's quotes. That's very well done.
Yeah.
Well then. By the way, we've got. You won't be surprised to hear we actually haven't got very far, thanks to a certain person. We've got to the bit where the android just steps into the room looking very pretty in his sort of Harlequin style clothes.
Well, about 5 minutes in then.
Yes, and then we had a lengthy discussion about cricket gloves.
No, Kirby had a lengthy discussion. Actually, not really a discussion, a monologue actually, really, about cricket gloves. If I remember. Anyway, so they shoot at the thing and run out of ammunition, and then we cut to the TARDIS.
Big contrast there between the proper lighting in the house and then just all these lights on in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Master?
Yes.
Did you notice there at first I wasn't quite sure why we had all those scenes of the empty house, but the infotext points out you're supposed to notice the drilling noises.
Really?
That are yeah. Apparently there's drilling noises in those scenes with the empty rooms. That's the Pteroleptals building their little control room.
Okay.
I suppose that deserves.
I watched this twice and they didn't
miss that. It's like everybody well done, missed Kirby. That, so that was well done. Yes.
That's right, why they needed to add the info text.
On the live feed, we have Lauren Ickes.
The other thing that bothered me about the Pteroleptals is interested in
live
feed.
Thanks, live feed people.
You're not. They're never really properly introduced as Pteroleptals. I mean, the Doctor just starts calling them Pteroleptals out of the blue.
Maybe I should get a twirl bar. Nobody noticed, would they? Oh, sorry. Have you finished? Right then. Yeah, the live feed. We have Laurie Nix. Ah, I can hear Kirby Bartlett Sloan. A.D. The red of... Oh, the red... Sorry. I think she might have mistyped a couple of characters there. Laurie Nix says, speak so I can hear you. There's a saxophone blaring next to me.
Huh? Oh, is she in the Goon Show?
She's in the Goon Show.
There's always jokes about saxophones in the Goon Show.
I've got on the screen I'm watching, I've got a strange little starry spectacly thing. I don't know what that's all about. And Lillian Robin says, I didn't know they were cricket gloves either. There you go.
I didn't care.
That's because she's American also.
Indeed. Right, back to the... So, in the TARDIS, the Doctor's being... Well, Tegan wants to go home. She made this quite clear over the last few episodes. And they're trying... He's promised to deliver her to Heathrow Airport. Surely that's not her home. But... Oh, I keep knocking things out of my drawer.
Anyway, she still wants to get on that first flight.
She wants to go back to work. She's that desperate to not travel space and time. Indeed. She's gone back.
Odd woman.
Yeah, very odd. But safer... to go and do a job than it is to hang around with the Doctor. But the Doctor is quite hacked off about the fact that she wants to go back home. And he's really not very... He's sort of being a bit moody with her, shall we say. And he's very, very impatient with her because I think he doesn't really like the fact that Tegan doesn't want to stay with him. It's a bit of an insult to him. But he's sort of
Master.
Oh, God.
The Doctor's very, very... impatient with everyone in this particular story.
Yeah, but he's more impatient with Tegan than anyone.
He's more grumpy, but he's I think his grumpiness is justified, to be honest.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, 300 years difference is nothing compared to the rest of the universe. No, and then they're at a time machine and they just try again.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you made me miss it. A clock keeps better time than you.
Yeah, Adric's able to hop the TARDIS sideways to land in the room later on in the story. But there you go. But, yes, I love the Fifth Doctor. Have I said that before? I love the Fifth Doctor.
Yes, you have.
I don't know, but I agree with you. He's very good.
He's brilliant, yes.
Yes.
All right, so Tegan is preparing to go and saying, I'm going to miss you, Nyssa. And there's some beautiful direction.
She was having a flashback to last week's story as well.
There's some beautiful camera direction in the bit where she's putting the lipstick on. And she's looking at herself in the mirror. She's looking at herself, not at the camera, at herself, with Nyssa out of focus in the background. Beautiful.
Seems like there's a mirror shot in every story this season.
Maybe there is, but that's beautiful cinematography.
Storia.
Done in studio. Superb stuff. It's nice to see Tegan's bedroom. And they do, oh, I'm going to miss you, Nyssa. And then, of course, she walks in. They've landed. She walks into the TARDIS console room and looks out the window. That doesn't look like Heathrow Airport. And Adric and the Doctor
it will be.
So Adric explains for the Doctor. Hey?
Master, actually, they're in a park called Black Park, which is not far from Heathrow. The planes are flying over.
That's good worth a ding there for Reese. Superb. I thought Andy was back on the show for a second. Now got me right.
But Black Park is also where Adric's homeworld was filmed.
Thank you, Kirby, I think. Right, so yeah, she's not very happy about the fact that she's not been deposited. What got me about that scene is that, come on, okay, have another go. See if you can aim to the right thing, not just stop there and walk out.
Just go and have a look around.
Does it need refueling?
Yeah. I know the TARDIS is meant to take them where they need to go, but honestly, he's like, I could just try again. Like
I like her idea. Well, I'm going to go out and buy some land, and then I'll be making them raking it in.
That's another reason why I like Tegan so much. She's so sarcastic. I love so
much. That bit where the Doctor's holding that broken piece of TARDIS.
Yes.
He actually accidentally broke that off during rehearsal.
Yeah.
And then improv the line about her flying off the handle.
Yeah, I like that. I like that line.
Back to the feed. Lauren Nick says, I'm watching the Goon Show now. Should be watching this podcast.
You're watching Doctor Who, Lauren. Or the feed, or whatever.
No, she's watching you, Adam.
I see what she means.
Ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, it'll iPod.
Shut up.
You're probably right, though, Debbie. She's probably watching us.
Anyway, Tegan storms off in a huff.
Perfect tool for you to use when Kirby interrupts too much. Just say, shut up, Beckles, shut up.
It's not right.
All right, shut up. Right then, so so Tegan storms out of the TARDIS in a huff, for a few paces away from the thing, so that they all can
get. It actually took about a minute and a half.
Anyway, so the Doctor walks out and tries to be patient with her, and then Adric and Nyssa follow, and there's a they go for a little wander and then realise quickly after all these sort of explosions and gunfire and stuff go off that maybe they should go back to the TARDIS. Of course, they can't because they get sort of mugged a little bit. And
that was a very well choreographed scene. I like it.
Mugged a little bit.
There's a scene in which Adric falls over and twists his ankle, and they didn't talk about getting a cold, wet cloth on it.
And maybe it doesn't work on Alzarians.
Oh, Master?
It wasn't just Sarah going, over a blade of grass.
Master?
Yes?
May I apologize for being incorrect on something
a few weeks ago?
You
just apologize. Don't worry about the incorrect bit.
One of those villagers, the shorter one, is Stuart Fell. The infotext told me several stories ago that we'd seen the end of him with, I think, Legopolis or something, and yet here he is again.
Which end? And, top end or bottom end?
And he also dresses up in Adric's clothes in episode 4.
Is he?
He's the actual person attacking the android.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby.
So I was incorrect.
Thank you. That could have taken about 3 minutes less than it actually did, but thank you anyway. Right, so while wandering through the... Well, being chased through the woods, they meet that chap from on the buses.
He was amazing. I loved fantastic. Him.
I love this. That is his sort of thespian way of talking. He really had the character down to a T.
You must admit that I am quite
and
a...
the gruff voice he had was
fantastic
amazing,
character.
Too.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
He was indeed wonderful. Well, Robson, his surname was, wasn't it? Somebody Robson.
Yes.
So he takes him to the little hideout, and he's a very nice man. Very friendly man.
The actor, by the way, really enjoyed his wig because he's actually bald.
Yeah, no, he did flick it quite a lot. I was watching him. Really, I know he's quite bald. He was in On the Buses.
He's scenery perfectly. He was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So they sort of strike up a bit of a friendship and find somewhere to stay and do some investigation. And I've got an itchy nose. There we go. But they do get followed by some slightly masked peasants. And they find themselves in their old, a very mysterious old house. And it is the house, of course, that we saw at the beginning of the story. But it's all empty and they have a bit of investigate. And
I really didn't like the bit where they walk through the gate and then immediately the people following them are there. And why didn't they see them?
Yes, they're right there. Yeah.
Maybe so. But anyway, the doctor does some measuring and realises a wall that is there that shouldn't be there. Nyssa and Adric and I can't remember the bloke. What was the on the bus?
Richard Mace.
You'll have to keep reminding me of that because I'm bound to forget. Nyssa lets them in through the front door.
Apparently, he was a real person.
What was a real person?
Richard Mace.
Was he?
The actor. No, I'm talking about the actor, the historical character.
Right.
It's nice when we do historical with it, actually, some proper true historical with it.
Yeah, this is historical. It sort of gets,
when we started this,
it gets glossed over as a historical. Because they talk about the historicals only really being in the Hartnell time and when...
how we seem to be returning back to educating a bit.
Again, with this is a bit of a one-off, I think, this story, but it is definitely historical.
It's a lovely little bit.
Another historical...
Yes. Anyway, so they let them, the rest of them in through the door. But while they've been away, the doctor has disappeared. Now, I'm quite curious to hear the tone of Tegan's voice when she says it. This line for the my lights have all gone off.
Oh,
I'm all dark. Alexa, I'm back again. How weird. Thank you. God, Alexa's getting sarcastic now.
Did you enjoy your walk?
That was weird. I reckon someone's playing around in the other room deliberately. It's probably Deb saying turn everything off and turn everything off. I've lost my thread. We're going to talk about Tegan's delivery of this line, weren't we? Right, I just want to listen to the tone of it. If I can get the right spot. Hang on. Why can't I not hear it? Oh, here we go. The audio's down. That music irritates me. I don't know.
Doctor!
That's not Tegan. This is Doctor. This is Tegan coming up now.
Doctor!
Right. Did you ever hear the tone of that?
Doctor!
So we'll move on to the next episode, if I can get this to work. All right, shut up. Shut up. I said shut up. Thank you. Right, we'll move on to the...
Shut up!
Heckled.
Right. Right, so remember the tone? All right, let's move it forward. I just think, I feel in my mind it's not quite the same, got the same stress to it. Oh, come on. Is that, to me, is that completely different?
That was take number three of that scene and she ran out of energy.
Yeah.
So no one agrees with me then. What a surprise. Right then.
Yes.
So, even though I'm right, and I'm going to give myself a ding, you don't agree with me.
Well, I did.
Oh, you did. Well, I'll give you a ding then.
Well, I hope you did the question, Adam, because I didn't do any.
Well, I thought you were, so I didn't do.
Oh, thank God.
Right. So
I also agree with you, Master.
No, oh, shut up. Right then. So the what happens is after Tegan says. For a second time, the Doctor appears through the brick wall. Quite a clever piece of camera trickery. Because he's found that it's a secret, it's not actually a real wall, it's like a force field made to look like a wall. Hiding an extra room.
Dun, dun, dun.
Series of rooms, the entire basement, actually.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah. An extra area. Within this area. Are some gubbins like rats and a strange sort of device that looks a little bit like a plastic demigorgon. That's a reference to Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Oh. How would really you know, cool. Kirby, you haven't watched Stranger Things?
I know what a demigorgon looks like.
Okay.
So, Stranger Things, it's very good.
It's exceptionally
very,
good.
Very, very, very good indeed.
But some people don't want to watch it from the country where it's made. Isn't that weird? Right then.
I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Of course, you haven't got the relevant channels to watch it, have you?
Yeah, yes, I do.
I got turned off during the first season, and I haven't seen any more of it.
Mary.
And Master,
yes?
Not only am I in the country that it's made, I think it was made about 50 miles away from where I'm sitting.
Really?
Okay. So if you move slightly to the left, it'd be 49.9 miles away from where you're sitting.
Yeah, they do a lot of movie filming in Atlanta.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do. The Walking Dead, I know that much.
Anyway, back to the feed. Lorinex said... Thespian Highwayman had the best lines in the script. He probably made some of them up himself. And then she says, the android Alexa had taken control. It's funny, you're going to know about the lights Trudy did go off if you watch the video feed. She basically just saw my eyes. You know, like the old Tom and Jerry cartoons, when the lights go out, you just see the character's eyes. That's basically what it looked like on the on the live.
I'll have to go back and watch the video.
Yeah, I will.
So,
mouse,
while they're down fiddling around with all the stuff, the android comes in, knocks out Tegan and Adric, and not the Doctor for some reason.
And he's there's a reason.
There's a reason.
Yes, the Doctor points out that if he shoots too close to that green demigorgon, that it will explode.
Yes.
And so that's why the android, which I love that death mask, that's why it goes over and fiddles with the green thing rather than shooting at the Doctor at first.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. What Mary said about Stranger Things and getting turned off, I have to say, you do have to persevere with it. I think if you can get to episode 4, you're hooked, more or less.
Episode 4 of the first season? Because I watched more than half of the first season.
You need to watch all of it. You can't give up on it. It's too good. Right then, so back to Doctor Who. You might have to go and start and watch it again. In fact, I might watch it again soon, actually. So some things I missed in the first series because of... You know, because there's just so many details in it. I think it's certainly worth a rewatch.
My watching right now. Oh, by the way, when the android carries Tegan into the other room, she's unconscious and she kind of lifts her head, but she lifts it at the wrong time, and he still hits it on the edge of the door.
Yeah, seeing that scene reminded me of a certain sort of urges I had when I was a teenager, because I was a teenager when this episode went out, and seeing Janet Fielding's legs in that shot was quite nice. I remember. Very nice legs. I really, really liked Janet Fielding when
we know.
I quite like Janet Fielding. Yeah. I mean, right here in my notes, I've written, I've got a thing for Janet Fielding.
Well, I do too, but it's more because of her sarcasm and her character.
Oh, the character-wise, yeah, she's a great character.
The character's good, too.
But she was beautiful.
Except for the annoying bit at the beginning where she just didn't think, oh, we're in a time machine, we can have a second go.
It's because she was beautiful, Mary. I was quite smitten with her.
Yeah.
She's the only...
And I like how, even now, Janet Fielding is like that.
Oh, yes, just
in real life.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So if you were in love, if everybody was in love with Janet Fielding, I thought that Sarah Sutton was quite beautiful.
Oh, she's prettier.
She hates her costume, though.
No.
She looks hot most of the time.
She was very pretty, but I was well hooked on Janet Fielding. She hurt so much so she's the only Doctor Who actor that I ever wrote to when I was a teenager. I could have written to Peter Davison, I could have written to all of them, but no, I wrote to Janet Fielding and got a reply. It was lovely.
Oh, do you still have it?
Yeah, somewhere. I don't think where. It's probably in a photo album somewhere.
You showed me it a few years ago.
Yeah, but don't tell people that, Debbie. Yeah, thank you very much.
Sorry, Adam.
Back to the episode.
It was an accident.
Right, there's a piece of the scene in which the Doctor comes out of this little hiding place holding, and it's so Blackadder, holding a little piece of green in his hand.
Nugget of pure green.
And I'm so disappointed that Mace didn't say, "Have you sneezed, Doctor?" Adric and Nissa Tegan have been sort of tied down, and they haven't been sort of coerced yet. They're sort of being kept.
Bannister, it's a good thing that the Pterileptyl only caught two of them, because he only has two interrogation couches.
Yeah, at the moment he could have made some more. Right, we were talking earlier about the curtness of the Fifth Doctor. Love the Fifth Doctor. This is a scene. This is a scene, including curt Fifth Doctor.
I can't afford to improvise against an armed android.
I have no intention of doing so now. If you've quite finished lecturing me...
Love it! I love the Fifth Doctor. Have I said that before?
If you've quite finished lecturing me...
Yeah, you're brilliant. the efforts they went into the costume of the Pterileptyls is quite interesting. Obviously, this one that we see most of is injured, with the other making the lips move and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the back of the costume wasn't so good. It sort of looked, they sort of made this like a, they've nicked a tail off a mermaid and just sort of taped it on at the back.
Having said that,
I like the back of their costumes.
This is the first time they ever did full radio controlled animatronics.
Yeah, it was good. It was good effort, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. I watched some extras, an interview with Eric Saywood, and he described what he had in mind more than what they actually did. And he basically described the New Silurians, where he wanted an alien face and alien hands, but the rest would be just human garb of the time, so they'd be dressed very much like the people there. And I thought that would have worked a lot better, personally. But this is still very good. Especially the disfigured face.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Oh, in the behind the sofa segment where they have various actors watching this and commenting, for some reason they had Sophie and Mark, what's his last name?
Strixon?
Yeah, Mark Strixon. They had them watching this story together, and Sophie obviously didn't quite know how things related to each other, and she was thinking the Pterileptyls became the Silurians.
Okay, moving on. Right then, so the main Pterileptyl bloke is being quite menacing to Tegan and Adric, and also watching things. I think I quite liked about, he'd obviously roped in some, he had this special bangle, didn't he, that he'd rope in peasants with so he could control them and basically use them as CCTV. Now, what I liked about that is that when he was trying to communicate with them, their minds were so sort of,
Primitive,
that's it.
Yes.
The reception was really, really bad. I absolutely adore that. That's really okay. What?
Well, the thing is that during that scene when Fred was watching, she was going, is there something wrong with the audio? Did they make a mistake there? She didn't understand.
No, it's deliberately.
It's deliberate.
Yeah.
Yes, it is deliberate. It's very, very good. Brilliant, in fact. Yeah, anyway, I'm just moving forward a little bit because Kirby's been holding things up. I just seen a little scene where they catch a little bunny rabbit.
I know.
Well,
it's
at least a little bunny rabbit. Yes.
I think he was capturing it, but now that he's been activated, he lets it go. But also, I really liked the music for that. It actually felt
when they found the bunny.
Sorry?
He liked the music. He didn't find it funny.
No, when they found the bunny.
Yeah, when they found the bunny, I liked the music for that bit.
Oh, this bit. Very...
Yes, that bit.
Oh, there you go. Aren't I clever?
Yes, you are.
Master?
It's very atmospheric and sounded very similar to stuff that Sagan Akinola does with Jodie Whittaker's era.
Oh, yes.
Ah, yeah.
I see what you mean, because the axeman's just about to chop something and gets called away by the a couple of very obvious switches on the pterileptil's sort of control panel. Meanwhile, the Doctor, Nyssa, and Mace found the spaceship sort of crashed in a lump of earth with the door open and everything, and they go in.
Master.
Oh god.
They used glass paintings a lot. You know, matte paintings.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you see them enter the little spacecraft and they disappear, they're disappearing behind a glass painting of the right hand side of the ship, which is buried in the ground.
Yes.
And that is actually in front of the camera.
Yes.
At the time.
We're quite aware of how that matte painting thing works.
They used matte paintings, I believe, four or five times. The inside of the barn in the first episode and several other places.
Yes, it's a very good set when they get inside. The interior of this ship is very good. And obviously Maze's sort of reaction to it all is quite interesting.
Remember when I mentioned that the Doctor just starts calling them pteroleptals for out of blue? Apparently, according to the info text, he walks down and sees the little plaque above where he eventually blows the door open on the back. It's a good thing that door was not underground. And apparently he recognizes them as pteroleptals from that stuff.
Okay.
According to the info text. But I thought it was very unclear. Suddenly they're pteroleptals.
I wasn't bothered.
No, I wasn't bothered. I just thought it was the nice Doctor having knowledge of the universe.
So, Adric and Tegan sort of... Didn't they escape, or have they been let out with their sort of their bangles on? I can't remember now.
I thought they'd escaped.
Yeah, I thought they escaped. Well, Adric and Tegan.
Yeah, they escaped.
Yeah.
They don't have bangles on yet.
No, but they're going to in a minute. And of course, the pteroleptil.
I like the whole banter bit. That's terrific.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of banter between the characters in Doctor Who at the moment. And there's a scene in which we see the pteroleptil with a mysterious blue liquid. Some sort of cocktail, obviously, that put together.
The latest scene in Star Wars, blue milk.
And the Doctor and Mace sort of stand guard against the spaceship.
That was a good shot.
Yeah.
And then when Mace says... I didn't have time to reload these. The Doctor just goes, get back inside the ship.
He just seemed very huffy in this story. It was very good.
I know, but I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit Capaldi-esque, to be honest.
Honestly, yeah, he rolls his eyes a lot.
Yeah, I think he says humans at some point as well. Goes, oh, humans at
there
some
was
point.
Do you remember there was a while back when it was one of the Fourth Doctor stories in which the Doctor was really, really moody?
When he gets moody, he slags off humans, which is what Rose points out, obviously, in later years.
I think it might have been,
when he gets cross, he does point out that humans are crap.
I think it might have been Leela he was getting. Oh, no, it's been a couple of times. Once with Sarah Jane in Pyramids of Mars, but there was another story in which he was really, really sort of off with his companion. And I can't remember which one it was, but it is sort of in keeping with the Doctor's character to occasionally be a bit narky with his inferiors.
Debbie, my quote was, why are Earth people so parochial?
Cool.
I wanted to drop the sonic device, but Master took it.
Yes. Drop the sonic device. Anyway, it's right. So Nyssa, meanwhile, sort of is sent back to the TARDIS to make a gadget, while Tegan and Adric attempt to escape.
A vibrating gadget.
And the Doctor and Mace find a barn with a very lively horse in it, and Mace loves the horse. They're searching for stuff, aren't they? I can't remember what they're searching for now.
The Miller?
Miller, because the Miller might know something. And
yes, because he comes and goes at will.
Tegan doesn't quite escape. She gets caught by the android. And then the Doctor and Mace get pushed onto the ground. And the Doctor gets threatened to have his head chopped off. And he says, not again.
One of the reasons he says that is with this Monday, Tuesday showing thing, or was it Tuesday, Wednesday?
Happy days.
Yeah.
they realized that people had only seen him be almost decapitated, I believe, 3 weeks before.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, we were.
And so they wrote that in.
Yes.
Because why is he always trying to get his head chopped off?
Yeah. But doesn't he get saved by some other peasants that are being controlled by the pterodactyl bloke? And
a very funny line before that, though. Just before everyone arrives and captures them, Mace sees a goat and he goes, "Ah, will you be able to carry a tired thespian?"
it's a donkey.
Okay, for God's sake. Right. Why anyway,
was the horse that was pulling the mill?
No,
it's a donkey.
Okay. He left by
all
then,
right,
and
doesn't
then he sees
matter.
A donkey and he goes, "Oh, will you be able to carry me then?"
It doesn't
and
matter.
And later, in episode 3, he's talking to it, and it kind of, it obviously doesn't want to be in the scene and pulls away from him.
God, what a
thank
diva.
You. Right, it doesn't matter. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the TARDIS, just to pad out a few seconds of time, Nyssa tidies up her bedroom.
I know, what was that about?
I think it was so she can make space to make the gadget.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Adric does a bit of running around. Oh, there was a scene I did gloss over in which he's, because he was injured, wasn't he, when he twisted his ankle and had to say, "Oh, we Alzerians do have healed much quicker than you humans."
I know, so bad.
We've already had this, harking on about it all the time.
Have you noticed how Nyssa doesn't seem to be in any kind of a hurry? She does everything so slowly.
She's very safe, isn't it, inside the TARDIS,
isn't
she?
People dying out there, and she's just puttering around with this machine.
Well, she's doing what she's told, and doing a good job. So Tegan gets a little bangle put on her arm, very 80s, and Nyssa put the machine together quite quickly, tests it, and everything sort of vibrates. I thought there was something wrong with my telly for a bit, didn't it? The screen was going a bit funny. And then Adric turns up. Yes.
If you'll notice in her room in the TARDIS, there's that shelf that has all those little porcelain pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
Later on, when the android comes in and starts shooting away, it's empty.
That's probably because all the vibrations made everything fall off.
Well, it was a shot of them moving.
No, there's a sign of them moving. They're on a scarf or something being pulled, but also the shelf is also empty in long shots.
Anyway, back to the feed. Ian Kirk says, "I have a cold. Is it pterolepsils or strepsils that I want?"
Strepsils, definitely strepsils.
Right, so Adric's now in the TARDIS, and this is trying to keep him from being a bit of a twat. To be fair, and the Doctor and Mace are imprisoned by the Miller.
Miller time.
But somewhere along the line, he loses his connection to the pterolepsil and sort of is a bit confused.
All of the characters except Mace, and not counting the people in the. In the opening section of the first episode, all of the characters don't have names. They're the Miller, the Scytheman.
Sure, the Miller is a name, isn't it? That's how the name.
No, he's a Miller.
Could be a Miller called Mr. Miller. Doesn't matter anyway. Moving on.
Those days, their profession was quite often their name.
Yeah, but everybody, the headman, everybody, poacher. They even called the one guy poacher, and he was apparently a respected member of society, even though he's a criminal.
You know what I need to do? You gave me this idea, Reese. It's find that old episode where Andy Nunny fell asleep during the Conquer Sturbridge. Yeah. Sample some of the snoring. And when Kirby yes. starts going on one of his little journeys, just
will
play
you just
it.
Play the gallery
just
music?
Just play it. We could do that. It'd be yeah, funny with Andy true. Snoring, won't it? Who's that snoring? No, well, me. All right, moving on. So the Ceroleptils... we see the other two pteroleptils because there was a mention.
We've been alluded to that there's three of them.
Yes,
isn't
because
there?
Some of them were killed in the crash. Although considering they were killed in the crash, the ship looked pretty good, and it was bigger on the inside too.
It was an escape pod.
That's the reason why it was bigger on the inside, because most of it was buried underground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clever. So, yeah, Nyssa is keeping good watch using the TARDIS monitor of what was going on outside. And Tegan is, meanwhile, putting the what we now know to be some sort of disease together. And
worse than plague.
Oh, yeah, and then, of course, the android comes in dressed as Death with a hooded thing and a sort of...
That's such
scythe.
A great way of dealing
is it a
with
scythe,
the
that great big thingy. Can't yep, they call those. And the Adric is very fidgety. He wants to get back out there to help the doctor and that. But Nyssa keeps saying, "Oh, stay here." But he disobeys her. But Nyssa's seen the people hiding in the woods, and it doesn't get very far. Because surprise, surprise. But she, I love the scene. She sort of sees him go, and then thinks about going after him. But opens the door, and then thinks, "Nah, sod it, Stadrick. Shut the door and stay in here."
Well, she was being very strategic about it, which I really liked. But I also related to him in that he really wanted to do something, and he had it just sitting there waiting. And so that was quite a nice tension-filled scene, really.
Yeah. So she says.
Oh no!
Oh blast! I've just moved it to. I've moved the wrong slider. Instead of the volume slider, I moved the actual the video slider far too far.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's a very appropriate bit of sound. Anyway, so we see a little scene because now Mace has been caught by the pteroleptil, and he's wearing a green sort of bangle. So they've got them to work by bringing a few boxes of looked like boxes of eggs actually. It could well be eggs, but we're made to believe they're actually. Disease, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the doctor, meanwhile, is he's sort of trying to put a little gadget together. He's had a bit of a conversation, a bit of a chin wag with the pteroleptil bloke. So he's trying to put a little gadget together using his sonic screwdriver.
But he's trying to convince the pteroleptil that leave this planet. You don't need to be here. I can take you anywhere.
He is, but he's still trying to put stuff together. And he's got a couple of very scary henchmen, which is Tegan and Mace. They come in. And Tegan's carrying what looks like a crate of rats or something. I don't know, is it rats or is it...
It is rats.
Yeah,
it's rats.
The rats have been impregnated with this disease. Just to keep...
Plague rats.
To be in keeping with the plague. They was mention of the plague, wasn't there? But no one caught it. You would have thought that.
Well, no, that's why the villagers initially tried to chase them down because they're strangers and there's plague around.
Yeah, but
and that's why they're burning the sulfur and wearing masks.
But you would have
right
thought.
At the beginning,
You would have thought that the doctor and Nyssa and Tegan would be quite vulnerable to the plague because obviously they wouldn't have had any antibodies. But if when they get beamed back up to the Enterprise, all those things get filtered out, don't they? Oh shit, that's a different series, isn't it?
We watched Star Trek last night.
Did you? Star Trek Discovery is very good, by the way. The Doctor, I don't know, it's a pteroleptil comes in wearing a cloak as well. He's
getting ready to go over to London.
He's about to go out in public. He's got to look good.
Okay, so we've got to see the scene. We've got to hear it. Here we go.
Drop the sonic device.
It's almost exactly the way I said it.
For God's sake, drop the sonic device.
Drop the sonic device. Of course, it suddenly turns. It's a very clever gun, that, from metal to plastic. I was quite impressed with its abilities to change materials like that, and maybe that's how it kills things anyway. So yeah, that's the end of the sonic screwdriver.
Master,
good. Oh god,
you want to write this down. the Time Gate episode. We were discussing Space Museum. Andy fell asleep. It was episode 266.
I got it.
What do you mean you've got it? I don't want it. If you've got it, I certainly don't want it.
I've written it down for you.
Oh,
so you can get the snoring.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I get time to sample
I'm contributing to my own being mocked.
Your own being? Very good.
Like a man who could laugh at himself.
Julie, it's the doctor. Don't open it. If you do, it's the end for us all.
For the first time ever. Yes. So that's... That's how the episode ended. Keegan has taken an absolute
age. Where he says, I know you don't listen to me, but please listen to me now.
Yeah.
And she's taken an absolute age to undo the simplest of catches.
She had to do it in a dramatic TV way.
She's fighting against it. That's the thing.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
also,
so.
She had to do it at an angle that looked good on television, not
maximum
impact. Yes.
So during her trying to undo the thing, the doctor has a little thing, very similar to the third doctor's little thing when he had to defuse himself when he had the spider's thingy in him. Remember, he had that little rock we used to drain the energy out. Remember it? That little it sort of sparked.
Yes.
Yes, it was very. You don't remember it, do you?
Haven't seen that.
And then he does a very violent attack on Tegan and removes the devices that were keeping him under control. But she forgives him quite quickly. Nowadays he'd be in prison for assault.
Well, she whinges at him because she's feeling bad.
Yeah, well,
she's got a headache. Oh,
back to your usual self.
She doesn't want to be there. She wants to be back at Heathrow working. But there's a couple of times where the doctor bites his lip when trying not to argue with her.
There's a bit later on where they're looking at the paper in the pterodactyl's little base.
Yes.
And she says something that really drives him mad, and he has to put a finger to his temple to calm down, like he's getting a headache.
Oh, yeah.
Right. There's a shot of the sonic screwdriver sort of bent and buckled on the floor when Tegan sort of says, can't you use your screwdriver? If you take the end off that sonic screwdriver, it actually looks like the 13th Doctor's sonic screwdriver.
Yes, I thought that. Yeah.
just saying.
Eric, by the way, Eric Sayward said that he was told by J&T to kill the sonic screwdriver, but he thought it was only going to be for this episode.
Oh.
And that the doctor could go and get another one.
I did not realize
until I saw the info text for this that we don't see it again until the movie.
Anyway, so meanwhile, back in the TARDIS, Nyssa is preparing herself for the actual meeting with the android. And
making sure her hair looks good, the makeup's done, everything you have to do before a date.
Like getting a pair of very attractive headphones, which sadly for Kirby were not the headphones used in in the Green Death or any subsequent stories.
Did you notice that her skirt that she used to wear is hanging on over in the corner?
No, I didn't notice that, Kirby. Thank you for pointing that out. So Adric has been caught by some peasants and gets brought to the android. And then the android gets called back. So Adric ends up following the android. And the android then heads to the TARDIS, followed by Adric. Mm. And then Adric gets a little bit of a chop on the back of the head, old Star Trek style, and falls to the ground unconscious. And the android walks in, and then Nyssa switches the switch. And
well, that's actually Stuart Fell who is attacking. Take a look at him. He's not the same person.
Okay, whatever. So he gets done in. And, of course, I love that there was I forgot about this earlier on in the story when they first see the android and they all remark how beautiful it is, which was quite nice. Quite a nice touch on something that obviously is quite destructive. And then Adric walks in, rubbing the back of his neck, and sits on the bed with Nyssa and says, Nyssa, we're alone.
There you can see all the little things are missing from the shelf.
I love the way you turn that bit of smut into something completely uninteresting.
Smut is such an underused word.
Oh, God, yeah. Meanwhile, back here in the house.
This is brilliant. The doctor's trying to escape, and Mace has got all these guns, and he says, you know, if you didn't have those guns, you'd be able to fit through here too, or something like that.
Yes, yes.
Well, Adric is trying to land the TARDIS in the thing. Now,
I think I like this how impatient the doctor the
first,
gets.
Well, you don't blame him, do you? The first and only
this
time.
This might be the only glimpse you get of the TARDIS.
Yes. Yeah, I like that line. Yes,
what is this? Maybe the only glimpse you ever get of my TARDIS.
I played it for you. Aren't I kind?
Well, thank you.
Yes.
But he manages it, and probably the first and only person ever to move the TARDIS genuinely.
Well, that's where my quote's from, isn't it? It's like, I was literally just going, well, hit it.
However, yes. Knowing the TARDIS to be the TARDIS, we now know the TARDIS most likely moved itself. Everybody's talking over me, but there you go. I might as well go and get myself a twirl bar. Maybe they can't hear me.
Can I have one, please?
Fortunately, I have the current control of the edit, so it means that people, I can just make people listen to me either way. And everybody knows I don't bother editing, apart from a couple of weeks ago when I edited a load of blurb about Wales Comic Con. That was anyway. But you won't, as you don't listen to the show, you won't even know that. Anyway, back to the episode.
I do.
The Doctor realises that the pteroleptals have legged it, basically, and goes back into the TARDIS to triangulate their position and finds their
position. Do you know where they are? Right. What are we doing now? I'm searching for our pteroleptal friend. You know where they are? Yes, that's why I'm searching.
The TARDIS could have had a better map.
I was just about to mention that. It was a very old. But on the, and again, it makes sense to a certain degree, doesn't it? Because the only maps they would have had at the time, of that time of London, would have been these type of sort of crude sort of maps. But when they land in London, the scenery, obviously, again, it's sort of painted on sort of what they call those things. It's beautifully done. It really does look like how you would imagine 17th century London to do, with the overhanging.
Well, yeah, the top part of that view is a glass painting.
Yeah,
glass,
but it's great.
Painting. It is. Now, one interesting thing, Master, is the studio shots. The when you're seeing the outside there, that's Ealing Studios, which they had permission to set a fire in.
Oh,
but
yes.
But when they're inside having the little standoff with the pteroleptals,
yes,
that's Television Center. So there's lots of back and forth because you can't set a fire in Television Center.
Okay, thank you. Moving on. So the only thing they're lacking with these particular buildings is that a lot of the buildings of the time had, like, the second floor overhung the first floor. So they would have a larger living space upstairs.
That's happening a little bit.
But these particular, although they've got the exterior, does look quite sort of the time. The actual architecture wasn't consistent. That's the reason why the Fire of London accelerated, because they would just, because each floor overhung the next, the heat would then set fire to the floors going up. Just saying.
And then pass across to the next one.
Historically, it was an important fact of the Fire of London, and probably why they don't build buildings like that anymore. But there are some buildings of that sort of time that survived, not necessarily in London, but other parts of the country, very historical buildings. But you'll know that they are pre-17th century just because of their architecture. Meanwhile, three pteroleptals are gathered around a demigorgon.
Back to the British architecture podcast.
The pteroleptals are gathered round this demigorgon and carry it around. The Doctor, Adric, and Nyssa and Mace sort of come in looking really tough. Mace is carrying his gun. The Doctor's carrying a torch.
Master.
Oh, God.
Did you notice they do walk under a sign that says bakery, because the fire did start in a bakery?
Yes.
But not on Pudding Lane.
No, it didn't start on Pudding Lane. It accelerated on Pudding Lane. Thank you, Debbie. Not getting any points for that. All right, then. So, yeah, aww. So they come in looking...
I didn't know that.
Well, you should watch some very interesting documentaries about the Fire of London. There was one on Channel 5 a few...
You know, I didn't even know that Pudding... I found out about the Great Fire of London through reading about this story, even though I didn't see the story.
Okay.
The Doctor basically was there when the Great Fire of London started. Saying Pudding Lane to me meant nothing.
Can I just say, right, before we finish off, eventually, after, because it's actually, we've actually managed to do it longer than the episode story is, but there you go. that when I watched, there was a thing about some bloke an American railroad worker who managed to shoot himself through the head with a spike, yet survived. Yes. And I can't remember his name. Had a very funny name. Anyway, this was in the Victorian.
Lucky something or other.
It's what?
He's probably called Lucky something.
He was quite lucky. He did survive for 10 years after that. Yeah. But he's a very well known. It's very well known. Incident in history because the fact that went up through his mouth and up and came out from the top of his head. Yeah, not only did he survive, he was still conscious straight after the accident. Yes, it did go through his brain, if anybody wants to know. Now, wow. I read up about this because there was a little bit snippet of it during a lesson in a Stranger Things
Phineas Gage,
that's it. So I sort of read up about it. This is what you can do about the Fire of London. There's a brilliant documentary that was on Channel 5 last year, I think, or earlier on this year, in which they just showed where everything was, told exactly how everything happened in a timeline format.
That, yeah.
It was really, really good. Nothing, no pterodactyls were mentioned, hasten to point out. Or Time Lords, for that matter.
They didn't say anything about archaeology or anything like that either.
No,
so, yeah.
It's fantastic. Cause they went underground and they showed you things underground that still exist and still show evidence of the burning from the Fire of London.
The fleet is still flowing through London. Yeah. It's just trickle, whereas it used to be a very waterway.
As in Fleet Street, where the newspapers are. And there's signs that you can go underground for where the foundations of old buildings are still there, and they've still got burn marks from the Fire of London on them. Fantastic. Anyway, back to the episode.
I have considered going into the Wikipedia article on the Great Fire of London, because there's a section at the end called In Culture, and they mention the Great Fire was released on ITV television in 2014, shown in 4 episodes. There's a novel called Old St. Paul's. It does not mention Doctor Who. So I'm going to
edit
the article to mention Doctor Who.
Don't watch the dramas and stuff. Watch the actual documentaries with archaeologists that tell the facts. That's probably the more interesting angle to go for. Back to the bloody episode. We've still got 4 minutes of it left.
Sort of a pterodactyl control device, did they mention?
They kept it secret, though.
Anyway, okay, so right. they're at a standoff with the Mr. Pterodactyl, the injured one, who's holding a very weird-looking weapon, which looks as if it's if he fires it, it's going to shoot over their heads because it's very curvy. And there's a little scuffle develops, and the very clumsy doctor and everybody else drops fire onto straw. Why would they have straw on the floor? I suppose there was a horse there. Maybe it was for the horse. I don't know. Anyway, the fire starts. They all leg it, and Mace decides to stay behind instead of jumping in the TARDIS to fight the fire with buckets.
Yeah, the doctor offers to drop him somewhere.
That would have been a better idea. And we see some lovely scenes of the melting, burning alive, melting.
Oh, that was horrible. It's like
bubble popping.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
the doctor really wanted to do was save him.
Then the fifth doctor comes up with this catchphrase, I'll tell you later, in regards to. And their sign of.
Even Nissa was saying it for him earlier on. The doctor will tell you later.
And of course, there's a little shot of them at the Pudding Lane sign burning, even though it's just been drawn on with chalk on a blackboard.
Yeah. Very cheery music playing over the top. Oh, look at that, a great big fire.
Yes, hundreds of people died in this fire, but let's play some cheery music over it. Because it was only a few hundred years, it doesn't matter. You know? If you watch that documentary, you find it does matter, it's just very sad.
1666 was a terrible year for Britain, it really was.
You say so. Charles II showed himself to be a very good king during the Fire of London, I have to say. And that's Visitation, a Doctor Who classic, in my view. An absolute treasure to watch. Totally engaging. It's good fun. It's got good comedy, good drama, excellent banter between the characters, especially the one. It wasn't, because Doctor has been a bit nicey-nicey between the Doctor and his companions over the years, but this one, obviously, there was a little bit of a, you know, do they really like each other? There's a mention of, does Adric says, I don't know if Tegan really likes me. Obviously, doesn't understand women, does he? Which, you know, bear in mind.
It's refreshing to have them bickering so much.
Yeah, it's great.
Because there's always like a little bit of tension.
It does rather leave Nissa to be a little bit boring, unfortunately, at the moment.
She ends up shining, but at the moment she does feel a bit like third wheel.
Yeah. But it is really the Tegan and Doctor show at the moment that you can understand why she stayed for, you know, as long as she did. But Yeah, it's Visitation is a Doctor Who great. I don't think anybody can really deny that. It's again, all Doctor Who has its faults. As we've seen, we talk regularly, you know, when we do new series stuff, we can sort of revel on how wonderful certain episodes are, but we can always find something in it that isn't quite right. But I don't think we've been too bad with Visitation. I think on the whole, we've been able to say that it glides. I think, is it Eric Sayward wrote this?
Yep.
Yes. Really good writer. Really good. I think the stuff I've seen of his so far has been fantastic. But yeah, I can't really fault this story too much. It's a Fifth Doctor homage, because it really does lay the foundations of why I love the Fifth Doctor. So then, how many of you have seen this before?
Oh, I saw it years ago.
Not me.
I saw it first time out, but I don't remember much of it.
Oh, right. We'll start with Reese then. What did you think of it, Reese?
I adore this one. I thought Kinder was good, and I had a fun time with it. And sometimes I go into classic series episodes or stories with a bit of trepidation, but last week I was, you know, really pleasantly surprised. I really liked it. But this was just brilliant, and I, you know, nothing to worry about. When I saw the first few minutes, I thought they set up the atmosphere wonderfully. Also, on that note, I've heard from a lot of people that a lot of stories in this era tended to be overlit and kind of felt very studio-bound. But that first scene, and you were talking about it, I thought it was actually very well lit. Yes. I thought it felt like you could only see because of the candles instead of having extra studio lights and stuff like that. I was expecting to have those characters last a bit longer, though, so it was a bit of a surprise when they're all gone after a minute or two.
They were allowed to die at war, apparently.
Yeah.
Hello?
Skype just came up with a message saying my microphone had disconnected, but everything's okay.
Yeah, live. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I did that about 10 minutes ago, but it's fine. I don't know what's going on with Skype.
Okay, yeah. I liked how it was quite a simple story, because then that gave the TARDIS team and their bickering a chance to shine, and it gave Richard Mace a chance to become the best classic series guest character that I've ever seen. I loved him. It was so good. His lines were just wonderful, and the way the Doctor every now and again really wanted to try and get along with him, but then Richard was a bit stubborn at points and didn't want to take part because he was so scared. And I think the Doctor could see so much potential in him, but he was holding himself back. So that's when the Doctor would get quite annoyed at him. Because I honestly thought it would have been amazing to drop Tegan off back at Heathrow at the right time and get rid of the other two and just have Richard Mace as a companion.
Yeah.
That is quite a loss, actually, him not being a companion for a little bit longer.
Yes.
I think so, yeah. And there's a scene that, because we had to move on with the plot, we kind of jumped over it, but I loved the scene when the Doctor first meets the Pterolectyls. And he's kind of preparing Richard for a big surprise because he's never seen something like a Pterolectyl. And then he notices the Pterolectyl's hurt, so he's very sympathetic towards it at first, and he just immediately offers to take them somewhere safe. And then the Pterolectyl is obviously very... I think they've been twisted by their time in prison. They just want to seek vengeance on the entire universe. They're not thinking logically about it. They just want to strike out at the world. And so when he learns that they're merciless, he becomes gradually more and more merciless, and he draws lines, and you can see it in Davison's performance. And it's not made as big a deal as the new series. The thing I like about the new series is that it's driven more by emotion, or often driven by emotion, and you can see that a bit more. But with the classic series, it's there, but you have to notice the choices that the actors make, and Davison made some beautiful choices in that scene. I really liked it, and it really got me thinking of a phrase that I've heard a few times from Paul Cornell throughout the years, where he described the Fifth Doctor as being somebody who wishes that everyone could just sit down and sort out their conflicts over tea and biscuits. And I think that really shone through here. He just kind of wanted to discuss it instead of have conflict. And he got a bit hurt when we couldn't just talk it through, really. Lovely, lovely stuff with the Doctor. I think I said this to you guys in the message group. group that we've got, but I'm going to say it to everyone else. I think Peter Davison is really quickly becoming my favorite classic series Doctor. I've always loved Tom, but he's very good. And I will mention one more thing. The scene at the beginning where they go to the manor for the first time and the miller comes by with the cart was so much better shot than Demons of the Punjab, where they had a very similar situation. And they were apparently nearly run over by it in that episode, but you didn't see that until they went, whoa, watch out. And then suddenly there's a cart there and it was a bit messy, really. Whereas this, there's a bit of tension and it really did seem like they were nearly run over. And I thought how it was interesting how
safety back then wasn't as stringent as it is now.
No, oh, I know. But it's just amazing how the show, with a lot of budget and the ability to do so many more takes than they could back then, because obviously they recorded onto film, or, you know, a bit of antiquated technology, which wasn't as easy to reshoot as it is now, it didn't work as well as this episode. I thought that was really interesting to take note that even in the most recent episodes, there are some technical problems.
They've still got a lot to learn from Classic Who, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So overall, I loved this. A bit more than Eric Saywood did, actually. I watched a behind-the-scenes thing, and ultimately he kind of thought, yeah, it's passable, it's okay, but I really like it.
Okay, thank you, Reese. Debbie, what do you think?
Well, we've pretty much covered everything about how much I enjoyed it, because obviously I've been chipping in. I do apologise. But this is what I would call gleeful Who, you know, when it's just everything you want from a Doctor Who and more. And you're just sat there enjoying it and going, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen next. And, oh, I don't mind if it's a bit silly. Oh, they didn't get that bit right. Doesn't matter. It was just such a good romp. And I just, I always call this sort of story that tickles me like this gleeful Who. And the story set up and the characters, especially at the beginning, you knew they weren't long for this world, but I kind of hoped that when they got to the manor, at least somebody might still be standing to explain what's going on. But there wasn't anyone, and I thought that was quite refreshing. Rather than just going in and having someone explain what's been going on, they're there trying to muddle it through. And you've got the guys at the front door discussing what do they do if somebody actually answers the door, and how polite they should be and things like that, whereas you've got the other two just going through the house going, well, there's a blast mark there. Something happened there, and there's nobody to tell you what happened. That's quite refreshing for a story like this. And basically, I was just led along in through every episode. I watched one episode a night, and it was just such good 25 minutes just to sit down and watch Doctor Who. And it was one that I just really, really enjoyed all the way through, and that was very funny. I thought it was witty. I thought it was sharp. I thought the whole, again, the scene with the monsters where he's offering, please, you know, just leave this planet, I'll take you anywhere you like. Anyone sensible would have taken him up on that, and when he realizes these guys aren't sensible, that's it. It's you see him switch, and you see him become the fighting doctor rather than the nicey doctor. And he just seems a bit bit off throughout most of this episode and this story, and he's fed up of the quibbling, he's fed up of the bickering, and it's like, let's just get on with this is actually quite important. It's like when Tegan's very carefully undoing the rat's cage, he's like, this is it for all of us. If you do that, it's it for all of us. And I think that's a very underrated line that he used there, because it is. It would be just curtains. And when it's Doctor Who like this, it's lovely to watch. And obviously you can nitpick and pick holes in the historical accuracies and things like that, but I just thought it was sumptuous viewing. I enjoyed it very much.
That's sumptuous. What a great word. Yeah. I wonder what great words Kirby's going to come up with.
Sorry?
The way Debbie was describing the relationship between the Doctor and the companions, I've just figured out why he's Adam's favourite Doctor. Oh, come on, this is important. Stop bickering. Come on.
Yeah. Come on, Kirby. What did you think? Oh,
who?
You obviously didn't like it at all then.
Who?
Kirby.
Well, why did you say so?
I think he did. The line was sort of a bit.
Because you talk over each other, you see.
We've got all this interruptions and stuff. I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interruptions.
Ooh.
Hey, why did it take me so long to watch these? Mm. These are great. And I've got this whole long string. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. There's a whole bunch of Fifth Doctor stories I haven't seen.
Are they
you might
really?
Have mentioned it before, Kirby.
Nah.
Including this one. The first time I saw it was a few days ago. And I've now watched it three times. It's great.
Oh yeah,
absolutely great. I love the doctor's bit of irritation, but then he and he tries to control it a bit. That is a fun. I liked the character of Mace. I didn't expect the pterileptals at all. I'd seen pictures of them, but I didn't know that was a pterileptal or what story it was from. And the android surprised me completely. I didn't know the android was in this. It's just great. And basically, I agree with all the rest of you for everything else.
Oh, was that it?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, it's always hard to go towards the end of the discussion because everyone has said basically.
We pretty much agreed on everything. So yeah.
It's just interesting to have
second after Masters. So
it's just interesting, obviously, to hear what you guys think of it, having only seen it, but just seen it for the first time. Obviously, I watched it eagerly when it first aired as a freshly baptized Doctor Who fan and was totally into everything. And now we're going to hear. Oh God, yes.
Apparently, you did discuss it in the podcast episode 46.
Did I?
Back in 2011.
What with
although
Ben?
I even though I was on that episode, you had this tendency of bringing me in for a few minutes as I was getting ready for work. So
what a fool I was.
I probably said I hadn't seen it that time anyway.
Sorry, Mary. I was trying to do a nice introduction for you, but it got spoiled. There's a surprise, isn't it?
Okay, well, I say that I saw this a few years ago, and I couldn't remember anything about it. I had to do kind of a quick look through it this time because I didn't have a lot of time to see it this week. And now I remember why I couldn't remember very much of it, because I find it to be, like, I don't want to say totally unimpressive, but nothing about it really sticks. It's kind of a retread of so many of Doctor Who tropes. You know, we've got the aliens that have come and they're going to take over the Earth and they're going to get rid of all the inhabitants. And we've got, you know, the companion getting possessed again. You know, and the doctor, even though he landed in the wrong place, you know, instead of going, let's go look around. I mean, it's everything that Doctor Who has always been and always will be. Nothing new and exciting has been introduced here. And the scenes that bothered me were the ones of Nyssa sitting in her bedroom, taking forever, putting that machine together and complaining about it all the time. I expected a little more, you know, out of her in this episode, but that's about all she did. And when I think it was Reese said about how you saw that thing of Soward doing a commentary or he talked about doing it. I read that he, when he viewed this, when it was done, really hated what the actor Robbins had done, because he felt that he had robbed the entire episode from the main characters, because he had overacted and drawn out his lines and even added things that shouldn't have been there. So he was pretty angry with that actor that he kind of stole this whole episode like a bad actor would. nothing new and exciting. It was shot well. It was beautifully done. The music I found mostly annoying, I have to say. Still my favorite companion will always be Tegan. I just listened to a recent Big Finish thing, a beginning of a three-part thing with the Fifth Doctor and Tegan and Nyssa. And I'm telling you, she doesn't change, not one bit, and she gets even better. So I really enjoyed her in this. I think she did a great job. And I think Peter Davison, as always, he's been my favorite Doctor all along, so he didn't disappoint either. It's just that this was a totally, for me, unremarkable episode that didn't have any real dramatic thrust anywhere. It just was kind of a nice, strung out, pretty, kind of fun thing, which I know people enjoy, but is not memorable.
We've got completely opposite tastes.
But that's part of the joy. That's why we do that.
Oh, absolutely.
If I may point out, Eric Sayward didn't like it when it first came out, but he later on did see how the character and that actor worked well in it.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I enjoyed an episode, the icing on the cake is just to see if Mary didn't, and then I go, okay, we're good.
I'll tell you
in
what,
my opinion.
I've got a jingle which is specially for Mary, other than the drama
Chris
one,
on
which
side of it.
It's the most underplayed
yeah,
jingle.
Yeah, we tend to be.
You are very naughty jingle, this evening. Yeah. They're all talking over me, listeners. They're very, very naughty. I'm just saying that I've got a jingle which is especially for Mary, other than the drama one, which is the most underplayed. Yeah, hallelujah, underplayed jingle. Mind you, what happens? The ones that Mary likes, we don't like. Or is that the other way around? I can't remember now. Anyway, right. So, and then we can move on to feedback. That's a laugh, isn't it? Feedback.
Everyone's a bit busy at the moment.
Everyone's a bit busy, and here we are doing a podcast. Right, so Kirby posted his usual request for feedback. Anity Butcher has said nice scythe, because there's a picture of the cricket glove wielding, scythe holding, hooded android.
Yeah, now that you call it a cricket glove and I look at the picture, yeah, you're right. You know, now it looks obvious.
It's a cricket glove with bling. Ian Kirk says, what happens in the 17th century stays in the 17th century. First burning of Rome and now this. I am away this weekend.
Aww.
Laurie Nick said, I enjoyed this one possibly for nostalgia's sake. Could have plugged in any of the previous Doctors, and I do like me a nice historical. The 1600s, comets, plagues, thespian men of the road, androids, cute rats, London's burning, etc.
Yes. See, she makes my point.
Yeah. You can read the annotated version of the Diary of Samuel Pepys, which is available and fascinating. I have to spot it. The Diary of Samuel. I haven't read it all. I've read snippets of it. It's almost as fascinating as Queen Victoria's journals up to when her son destroyed them when she was shagging. What's his name? Oh yeah, Mr. Brown. Allegedly shagging Mr. Brown. Right. So. And, of course, the other friend she had, Abdul. I'm not saying she shagged Abdul, but that's the diary's got... Sorry, her journals got destroyed, but there are earlier journals which didn't, and they're absolutely riveting. Love them. That's Queen Victoria. Yeah, so that was it for that line of feedback. Robert Haynes sent in some feedback by way of apologies, because he couldn't be on the show, or he obviously couldn't stay up to do the show. Don't blame anybody for doing that, eh, Reese?
Reese could stay up. Yeah.
Oh, don't pick on
Robert. I'm in a different time zone. I got up I went to bed and got up, whereas he has to stay up until 3 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So
right, yeah. And it's a very long blurb, so I'm going to get someone else to read that one out. Who should we go for? I'm going to go for Mary. Do your best Robert impression, Mary.
Adam.
Yeah. Oh, she gone to Mary. The toilet. I did have a flushing toilet sound effect somewhere. Oh, maybe she's gone out to... Maybe she'd make me a cup of tea. That'd be nice.
Maybe she's having mic problems now.
Now, I'm trying to get to his feedback here.
It's on the 20 megabyte crew feed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hobbit Rains.
He's put a lot of stuff in there.
She has.
Okay, all right. I think I got it.
Yeah, it starts with, I love the visitation, though.
Do you want me to do it?
No.
Okay.
Ooh.
Whoa, I guess that's not it. Really, I mean, he posts a lot, so
yeah,
I'm...
Does there was he? A lot going on this week on the 20 megabyte page.
And it starts, you say, with I love it?
No,
well,
it says,
it goes, he starts talking, I'm going to give it an eye to miss. It's been it's been so hot here. Last night it was bad, and I didn't get all that much sleep. And then he says, I love the visitation, though, and so forth.
Oh, I see. I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. Okay, yeah, here it is. I'm going to have to give tonight a miss. It's been so hot here. Last night was bad and I didn't get all that much sleep. I loved The Visitation, though. Such a nice way to bring in a historical setting. Loved the little bit at the beginning. A nice way to set up the story. I love stories directed by Peter Moffat. Such a lovely man. Much missed. And we get Patty Kingsland's wonderful music again.
Yes.
I do like the pterileptals. Probably the wrong spelling, but I'm typing this late and I'm tired. A shame that the costume was so constricting in movement. I'm sure it would work so much better today. I always used to think a pterodactyl popped up in Mind Warp, Trial of a Time Lord, whatever episodes, as one of the alien races meeting Syl, or was it Kiv? But it was the costume altered to try and appear as another race. Michael Robbins as Richard Mace stole the show, though. Soward's problem. He was wonderful. Maybe had a touch of Henry Gordon Jago about him.
Yes.
He would have made a good companion. The blingy android. I know what the intention was, having watched the extras, but it didn't come across as to why it was blingy on screen. Okay, so the aliens. Doesn't the doctor make a comment to the pterodactyl that he talks to about how the combination of their love of beauty, but.
Yes.
Yeah, so I took it from that. Anyway.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so the aliens are ugly and they like beauty, which is why the android looks like it does. And we get the whining, moaning Tegan. Grr. Matthew Waterhouse cannot run. Just look at him. And he buggers up that fight scene. The doctor looked heroic doing his not Venusian Aikido. Well, he didn't yell hi, did he? Loved the London Bates and the Pudding Lane sign at the end. Not bad all round. Good night.
Thank you, Robert. Look, see, listeners, Robert can send in feedback.
I actually did feedback last week. I was surprised myself.
Yes, Debbie can send in feedback.
And yes,
the trouble is, right, we've got a general election coming up and we've got two people connected. Well, one person specifically connected to the show who's running as a Labour candidate in
he
his...
He will send a bump crop like he did last time.
Yes, and if you look at your message inbox, you'll find that he's actually taken the time and his busy schedule to feed back to the show. Like,
oh, my God.
Hey, who proves a point, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Richard Mace Show, or Sail On, Baked Rat Puddings Reduced to Clear. Dear 20 Megabiters, The Visitation is, of course, a closely studied contemplation of severe penal servitude and maltreatment. The nature of the pterileptil's original malfeasance is not very clear, possibly the stealing of a loaf of bread to feed his starving family. We are obviously intended to have some sympathy for the blatant torture and disfiguration that has been experienced by the miscreant. The consequent misery is not, however, portrayed as a reasonable excuse for the genocide intended by the subject of that mistreatment, and the price for that is paid as the scheme burns out. However, if only some kindly ecclesiastic or otherwise moral upstanding person had gifted him some candlesticks, perhaps everything would have turned out very differently from the destructive spiral of desperate survival we see here. It should be noted that while some suggest that the pterileptils were somewhat limited in the dexterousness of their forearms and hands, considering their apparent capacity for fine technical and aesthetic work, but in fact all they have to be is terribly patient while trying to do things. Also, it never held the Daleks back. We also learn that Arthur Rudge, who worked on the buses in the 1970s, or was that the 1980s? No, it was very much the 1970s, started out as a thespian called Richard Mace in the early 17th century. Also, one of the pterileptils survived the Great Fire of London and thrived, got extensive plastic surgery to become the landlord of one of my most famous pubs in the UK, which was named in tribute to Clara Oswald in an area rebuilt eventually as Albert Square.
Oh, my gosh.
All in all, The Visitation is a very traditional Doctor Who story set in the past, almost with more akin to the original historical stories than the later pseudo-historicals, of which it is a great example. Eric Saward's first script clearly exhibits the fact that he had not seen the show recently, but had some time ago. Throwback though this is, it makes for a refreshing change. The real and entirely consistent fictional events lead inevitably heating up the action to the satisfying denouement. Davison plays the Doctor as if he's only played it once before. The tragedy of the death of the sonic screwdriver is at least foreshadowed by the importance of its role in the early part of the story and treated with greater respect at least than the writing out of lesser characters like K-9 and Dodo. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not want to have seen an episode dedicated to Richard Mace's after-show review performance, The Plague, My Part in Its Downfall. Next up, Doctor Who and Harley Quinn, or Adric gets fed for the slaughter. Those are my Alan T. Butcher.
Oh, very good.
Thank you, Alan. And that concludes, and I'll just double check. I haven't missed anything coming in the inbox. Oh, surprise, surprise. No, I haven't. That concludes feedback.
Is there anything on the feed?
Yes, if you let me... Well, Laura Nick says, unlike most here, I'm not a big fan of the fifth, but I think everyone on the TARDIS team did well. The differing personalities worked off of each other, or perhaps I'm used to it by now. And then Lillian Robin says, I agree with Laurie. I'm not a big fan of the fifth Doctor. This story is very watchable, though.
I would find them posting who they would put up as their favorite Doctor.
Yeah, that would be fourth. Nice.
It's going to be either fourth or tenth, isn't it? Come on, let's face it. So, Laurie and Lillian, is it fourth or tenth for your favourite Doctor, just so as we can't be surprised by the inevitable?
Just because Tennant was eye candy.
Well, it's classic. Tennant laid down the foundations for Doctor Who to stay. Well, it's still here, isn't it? And I feel that it's down.
Lillian Robin posted Tom Baker as her favorite.
What a surprise!
He's very good.
Although Patrick Trapp is definitely up there.
Trouble is, at the moment, you're judging Peter Davison on probably two or three stories, whereas, mind you, if you've seen all of them, I take it all back. And
Peter Tom Davidson is my doctor. He was the doctor that I remember most.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
And Laurie Nix just posted fourth.
And doesn't like the 10th at all. Doesn't like the 10th for sure. Is that the 10th Doctor speak?
What's wrong with you?
Find out when I get to Telford, won't we?
You do remember how old I am, don't you, Adam?
Rouge. Sorry?
How old I am, don't you? I do remember Peter Davidson.
50, not, no, you're not 50, you're younger than me. What, 48? 40, sorry.
I'm 42 this year.
I know that. I was trying to wind you up. I know when 1976 was. I was 10. Right then.
Ladies are responding on Facebook.
Ladies are responding on Facebook.
I may find myself to be a very big fan of the Fifth Doctor as well, since I'm seeing these for the first time.
Yes, that's when I became a fan of the Fifth Doctor when I'd seen them for the first time.
Love Doctor Who. Yeah.
Do you really? Laurie Nix says, not a fan of young Doctors.
Ooh.
Ditto.
That's very sad.
I don't know what she means by young.
Peter Davidson, was he 30, 32 when he filmed these? But he seems so much older.
Yeah. He turned 30 during his first scene, as I pointed out when we discussed Fort of Doomsday.
Yeah, he was losing his hair that early. Right then, so let's move on to Doctor Who news. The actor Ian Cullen has died at the age of 80. Ian Cullen
appeared
in the first series of Doctor Who, playing Ixta, who took on Ian in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
The picture of him, he looks completely different. There was a beautiful piece on Children in Need where this little girl was... Pardon?
I didn't see Children in Need.
I didn't see much of it, but I just caught this scene.
I haven't seen the scene. Then I don't see a link to it.
I'll better talk about it in a minute. This little girl, Anastasia, who's a massive Doctor Who fan, big fan of the series and of specifically Jodie Whittaker, they got her onto the stage and said, well, OK, we've got a big surprise for you. Look behind you, there's a big TV screen, and there was Jodie and Mandip Gill and Tozin Cole. And they said, sorry, we can't be with you at the moment because we're filming in America. So thank you for being a big fan of the show. Oh, hang on. Oh, but I'm a Time Lord. And she puts the sonic screwdriver at the screen. The screen opens and there they are on the stage. And the little girl goes, ah! fantastic. It's got to be watched.
She does it to Jodie Whittaker, and then she turns around and sees the other two and goes, again.
Yeah, she didn't even notice the other two.
Isla thinks Jodie Whittaker's wonderful.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, just brilliant.
It's a beautiful scene. I think it's on YouTube, the clip.
Yes, I found it. I'm going to post a a link to it.
It's really, really lovely. I don't think there was anything other than that. No trailers or anything like that. But the BBC have already posted that it's coming thing. So there will be something coming to in regards to a trailer. See, so it's on the 23rd. Yes, the Doctor Who birthday. Yeah. Birthday of Doctor Who. Yeah, so, but that was beautiful and well worth waiting up for. Noticing, of course, that the very busy, hopefully that's the reason. What's the chap who does the chase called?
Bradley Walsh.
Yeah.
Don't get any points for that, but I thought I'd ding in the bell anyway. Series 12, creative staff. Little bits of news are starting to feed through now. The BBC has revealed that the list of writers and directors responsible for the upcoming series of Doctor Who, with the 13th Doctor, played by Jodie Whittaker, returning in the new year. The BBC is starting to ramp up the publicity for what will be the 38th series of the programme, the 12th since it returned in 2005. This year sees three new writers joining the show. Nina Metavia, co-creator of the Netflix series A-List and the writer of the series Dixie, previously served as a script editor on Doctor Who. Maxine Alderton, writer for Emmerdale and CBBC's The Worst Witch.
Hey!
Charlene James, who worked on Sky Atlantic's Discovery of Witches Award. I wonder if that would be a witchy story then. Awarded Alfred Fagan Award for Best Play, Best New Play in the National Theatre for Cutting It.
Hang on, there's a Fagan Award, is there? Cool.
Fagan. Alfred Fagan.
What is that?
What's that for? Pickpocketing?
Yeah.
Very good.
Sorry.
Also making their debut in 2020 and joining the series are four new directors. Nina Manzoor, working on Enterprise.
Nina what?
Nina Manzoor.
Oh, Nina.
It sounds like an Asian name. So I wonder if that's going to be a story that's based around Mandit Gill's character. I've forgotten all the character names already, is it?
Oh, they said that
finally they should
focus
be.
More on her this time around. So
I remember seeing in the clip when Jodie turned up, she had Tosin Colon. Who was that third person? I just can't remember. So underfeatured in the last season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about that Punjab episode?
I posted the link to the YouTube video.
Excuse me, what was the Punjab episode? Surely that was set around her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Barely.
Well, supposed to be.
Well,
yeah,
then.
Barely right, yeah.
Continuing with the news.
They did say they were going to have more stories featuring her this time.
Yeah. Can't we just get on with Doctor Who and not focus on...
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to, but you're interrupting my news. Emma Sullivan...
No, Adam, what? I meant that all it is become the companion show. I want it just
right.
Really hasn't.
All about them. We can find out as we go on the journey rather than stop and break and like that last episode where he had to stop and talk to his dad. You know, that completely destroyed the pace of it. So, it's like, can we pull back on the companions? We learn about them as we're in
the fight. Write a letter to Chris Chibnall. Moving on with the continued news. Emma Sullivan, a graduate of the National Film and Television School, her short film After Tomorrow was nominated for a Palme d'Or at the 62nd...
Palme d'Or? Ooh.
Whatever. 62nd Cannes Film Festival. Jamie Magnus Stone studied at the National Film and Television School, nominated for a BAFTA for his short film Orbit Ever After. Lee Haven-Jones studied at RADA, lead director on the ITV series The Bay. In addition, three writers return for Series 11. Vinay Patel, who wrote Demons of the Punjab, Ed Heim, who wrote the brilliant It Takes You Away. I don't care what you lot say. I love that story. And Pete Mattai, who wrote Kablam, another great bit of fun. And I don't care what you lot say.
Oh, I liked your Funko Pop of the Kablam.
I like it too. There's also a Funko Pop of the steampunk Dalek. And there's also one of the Doctor when she's making the sonic screwdriver, you know, with the sort of goggles on.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Doctor Who showrunner Chris Chibnall said a load of stuff which I'm not going to bother reading.
Who?
But it does say at the bottom, Jodie Whittaker, Mandip Gill, Bradley Walsh and Tosin Cole will be reprising, depending on how you want to pronounce it, their roles as the 13th Doctor and her friends alongside an exciting host of soon-to-be-announced guest artists. The series will be back on TV screens early 2020. I didn't say anything about the Christmas special. I hope there
is. Yeah, it's going to be Easter. That's not that early.
if you say so.
They always bring it out for Easter, so bringing it out early in the new year. I don't care.
It's coming back.
I'll bet by early 2020 we'll get a New Year one.
You reckon?
Yep.
Maybe.
Okay. Doctor Who magazine 545 features a very sort of illustrated picture of Davros and some Daleks on the cover. And there's a World Cup of Terence Dicks. BBC Books is to launch the World Cup of Terence Dicks social media tournament on Monday, the 18th of November 2019, which is tomorrow. BBC Books is to publish a hardback collection of Target novelisations by the late Terence Dicks next year. They want Doctor Who fans to help with the selection. I'm not going to read the rest of that.
I've pre-ordered Sophie's book.
Have you now?
For like March.
No, I still haven't bought the reconstructed stories that have come out recently. I must get around to do that.
Actually, on that note, I'd like to start reading some Doctor Who books. So, listeners, if you have recommendations for Doctor Who books, novels, be they adaptations or original stories, please send feedback to recommend them to me.
Happy laugh. Send feedback. That means you won't get any recommendations whatsoever because our listeners don't do that.
If you haven't read Stone Rose, that's always a good one. I like
Stone Rose. I love the Stone Rose. Yeah, and the audio version of that book is cracking with David Tennant flicking between his own Scottish accent, the Doctor's voice, and Rose's voice as well. Brilliant. So entertaining. Well, that concludes Doctor Who news. I did post in relation to Lavazzi.co.uk. There's 10% off Doctor Who merchandise on the Lavazzi.co.uk website. You just have to type in that to the purchase thingy. Who 10? Do WHO 10 to get your 10% discount on fabulous products available at lavazzi.co.uk. And who won? I wonder if they got their Christmas lines up yet. Who? I suppose
it won. Who won.co.uk?
Well, thank you for that, because I was typing it in wrong, funny enough. .co.uk. Right there. Oh, it says this site cannot be reached because I typed in WHOOOO. I'm trying to do this one-handed. .co.uk. Right, is it going to work now? Here we are. It's lovely to see still our little banner, well, it doesn't have the 13th Doctor on it, at the top of the page that says the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Right, so we've got Doctor Who magazine. I've just mentioned that. You can get it much quicker if you order it straight from whoone.co.uk. And it's got interviews with Arwell Jones nearly on the show this week or last week. Sophie Aldridge, I still haven't had anything back from her in regards to what her publishers say and whether she can come on the show and talk about her book or not. Vengeance on Varos audio. That's 280 minutes long. It's Martin Jarvis reading the audio, sorry, the book of Vengeance on Varos. Sinister Sponge and Other Stories. Sinister Sponge? Some stories on audio or new adventures of Bernice Summerfield 4, so big finish thingy. New adventures of Bernice Summerfield 5 and Scent of Blood, 8th Doctor story. Lots and lots of big finish CDs available for you to purchase. And there's some coming soons on pre-order, like the 8th Doctor Ravens 4, early adventures 6.1, Home Guard. Early Adventures 6.2, Daughter of the Gods. Interstitial. Yeah. Feast and Fear. These are all big finished stories, by the way. Lost Stories 5.1, Nightmare. Ooh, the Lost Stories 5.1. Is that what we were referring to earlier about scripts that they never produce, but they're.
Yeah. Scripts written for the TV series, but never produced.
Good, because the first one's got Tegan and Turtlow on the cover. That not a 5.1. The second one is a 6th Doctor story called Ultimate Evil with the 6th Doctor and Perry. These are very exciting. Even though I might be tempted. The 5.2 is the. I've said Ultimate Evil. I've already just said that, didn't I? Will that come up twice? Nightmare Country, Ultimate Evil, Gang Heritage. It's not in one of that series, will it? It's the Paternoster Gang.
Oh, lovely.
And then Smash Torchwood Story, Star Tales. I would imagine. I don't know if that Torchwood story features friend of the show Gareth David Lloyd, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. But Torchwood One Letter Days does feature Gareth David Lloyd, because it's based on the Torchwood with what's that lady called? I can't remember the one. Oh, Tracy Ann Oberman, that character she played. I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cyberman. So, yeah, lots and lots of really good stuff coming up.
I did my duty.
Did you? We're talking about Doctor Who at the moment, Debbie. But thanks for that information. There's also Vigil and Warzone and Conversion. Fifth Doctor.
What's that story, Adam? Is that another
Warzone
story?
Warzone and Conversion. So it's a Fifth Doctor with Cyberman story. So is David, what's his name? We did the Cyberman voice. Is still with us?
Does he actually meet the Cybers, the Fifth Doctor?
Of course he. Are we talking about spoilers, ladies and gentlemen?
I can't remember. I just
you
was
can't
asking.
Remember. You can't remember if the Fifth Doctor meets Cyberman.
I know Adric meets him. Oh, then.
Well, Adric certainly meets the Cyberman.
Absolutely.
And then meets his end.
That's one that I've only seen
that once and a long time ago.
You've seen it, but you couldn't remember the fact there were Cybermen. It's because Cybermen aren't in the title, maybe.
Don't laugh at me. I'm only a
Nathan. Oh, poor Debbie.
I'm just here for the ride, remember?
That's what she said.
Oh my. Well, literally, she did.
Right then. So, now we can move on to the next story, as I said before, is Black Orchid. It's a two-parter. You've got no excuse, and especially as it could be quite a long time before we record next.
Oh, really?
I might have to move into some negotiations and put. I don't know. It's difficult. Whether I might have to negotiate with She Who Must Be Obeyed. Who might be out for a meal. Right, let's put you in the picture here, right? 24th of November, I'm out filming a thing for the Wessex Cancer Trust. And then it's also Deb's birthday.
We can't record that.
But she might not want to do anything in the evening, but I've got a funny feeling there might be a meal going on.
I think we just say no, because if you want to keep the peace, then
The following week I'm filming the Gillian Cartwright ballet show, or is Deb filming that? I don't know, that's a possibility. I think Deb's filming that show.
Well, I won't be there for that one.
Oh,
Jesus, but shenanigans.
So we're going to pencil it in. We're going to pencil it in for the 1st of... excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to pencil it in for the 1st of December.
Yay!
For, Black Orchid. So, because it's 2 weeks, I'm tempted to say, shall we do a Black Orchid followed by Visitation and do them in the same episode?
Why not?
Okay, we'll do that then.
No, we just did the Visitation.
Yeah, we just did Visitation.
Oh, be quiet. Black Orchid followed by Earthshock then. Sake.
Oh, okay.
Finish up Adric's channel.
Yeah, finish off Adric.
Finish him off. Good and
proper. Doing an Adric
we'll
special.
Come back on the Death of Adric special. Come back on the 1st of December. Yeah. I'm fairly sure we'll be all right for that, because by the time we get to this stage, the show will be in the can, and I think Deb will be all right with us doing it. It still kicks off at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, then dinner. Yeah, I reckon we could do it. I'll let you know if things go a bit pear-shaped on that front, because the week after that, I'll be filming the Theatre Train show. Again, that might be finished by the time I get home. There might be a certain event that I might want to talk about that evening. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But after that, it's fairly clear, to be fair. But yeah, we'll say next week is Deb's birthday, and you've got 2 weeks to watch 8 episodes of Doctor Who.
Six episodes of Doctor Who. Yeah.
Sorry.
We can do that.
I've got a little bit of news that didn't quite make the list, because it's at the moment it's kind of a bit out of everyone's loop, but I do want to share it because I quite like it. A composer called Richard Wilkinson has done the music for The Edge of Time, which is the VR Doctor Who video game. And he recorded a theme tune for it, but they ultimately decided to use Seiga Nakanola's theme that's on the main TV show at the moment. But he has released a recording of the theme that he wrote for the game, and it's got some elements of the soundtrack, apparently. And I really liked it, and I'm about to share it in the Facebook group, but I just wanted to make mention of it because it's like a combination of all the Doctor Who themes, basically. It's really well done, and I think it needs a bit of attention, and his YouTube channel could do with a few more subscribers and views because he's very, very talented.
Nope, we can't mention that at all. Right then. Oh, okay. We've got some stuff.
Enjoy editing that out.
Yeah, so Laurie Nick says she's a young one. I'm talking about, obviously, Jodie. Lillian Robin said, for Reese, Apollo 23 by Justin Richards is a very good 11th Doctor book.
I'll check that one out.
Yes. Somebody's liked it. I bet that's you, Reese, isn't it? Oh, yes. That's me, the funny is, watching the live feed go through, you see all these little hearts flying around the screen. I presume that's people liking stuff, but they don't actually...
Yeah, that's people liking stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't sort of say what they're liking. Somebody actually liking something about the podcast, which is ridiculous.
They're liking the podcast as a whole.
What?
Yeah.
You reckon? No, it's probably just my natural comedy retorts that they're liking, actually, Debbie, to be fair.
I'm sure that's it.
Yes. What she's laughing at. Right then, so 2 weeks' time.
Your natural comedy
Black
retorts,
Hawk,
obviously.
Earth shock. With a world given. No spoilers for Earth shock, but a beautifully hammy performance by Beryl Reed to behold.
What? Even though we've never discussed Earthshock, I've seen Earthshock. And we have discussed Black Orchid.
Yes.
We have, yes. I even remember that.
Yeah, even though you weren't on that one.
Well, it's a good Nyssa story, isn't it? I think it gives an opportunity for Sarah Sutton to do some acting.
So is someone going to put together questions for Earthshock? I'm sure you've got questions for Black Orchid, which I will not review.
I'll see what I've got in my file.
Do you want to do it?
That's what she said.
Do you want me to watch questions?
You want to have me pick on to put at the bottom of all of your choices that time.
Okay, let me see if I've got any questions for either.
Well, you shouldn't for Earthshock. Because
I've got Black Orchid questions.
Well, yes. That's Earthshock then, shall I?
I've got a Black Orchid question. How many have I got? 26 questions. I was a two-part story. I was on form that day, wasn't I? Good Lord.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but that'd make it a bit awkward, wouldn't it, Debbie, if you do questions for Earthshock and I do questions for Black Orchid.
Well, then
because,
it's two separate quizzes.
We can't either be in it, can we? How can it be? Oh, two separate quizzes. That'll be really thrilling for the listeners, won't it? To put up with two
Adam
quizzes in the
same. People
actually do like the quiz, you know.
I've never heard of anybody. I never heard of anybody admitting to liking the quiz
this time.
Not sure about
we'll
that
one. We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it.
Yeah, but if me and you were out of it, that leaves not very many people to partake in it.
I mean, do you get feedback from people saying that they like the quiz?
No.
Well, there was that review that I posted about a month or two ago.
That was
which already
one.
Really enjoyed the quiz.
One person. Mind you, only get two listeners, so that's 50% of the...
The people who partake in the quiz don't like it.
Correct.
Just because
what Mary doesn't like is he spends hours writing some notes down and then we don't do one. Anyway,
Did you say don't do one?
No, I said that Mary spends hours, what she doesn't like is spending hours writing notes down for the quiz and then it doesn't happen.
So we may as well just not do it.
I think I said that. I just don't like the quizzes in general.
Yeah, I was going to say it was just a general thing.
So basically, there's only one person that likes the quiz and you lot don't like the quiz. So.
I like it.
Oh, right, you like
one
it. Only because you think you're going to win.
One presenter. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
It's much easier just to dig out my Trivial Pursuit cards, actually. Which,
I like those even less.
Mine are over there. Mine.
Oh, that's how you get your questions right there. It's all coming out now, isn't it?
Like we've got them in the same order, honestly.
Anyway, I'm going to watch some telly. I've got some great stuff on telly.
So the problem is the Trivial Pursuit thing is mainly about modern Who, new Who, you know.
New Who. I'm just saying there's some good TV. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here starting up very soon.
Yeah, well, I've got to go catch up good. With these Dark Materials.
What did you say? Dark, yeah, that, I haven't started watching that. We've got it recorded.
Oh, dude, that's brilliant. His Dark Materials is
very good, but there's so much to watch.
I haven't started watching it yet.
Oh, God, my glasses. Yeah, we'll watch it when we're ready. It's been. I hope the BBC don't record, delete it from my Skybox. I don't think they can do that. There's so many good programs. Strictly Come Dancing Results Show, which we'll watch tomorrow with the beautiful, voluptuous and gorgeous Motsi Mabuse. Oh, she's so lovely.
So you say?
If you don't watch Strictly, you don't know who Motsi Mabuse is, do you?
I don't really watch Strictly.
Well, what's the point in me saying who and you saying who to me saying her? She's gorgeous. She's one of the judges on Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay, Reese, we are doomed because we now have a listener who likes the quiz. Colleen Robbins. No. I like the quiz. Y'all are funny.
Well, that
she's probably the one that said to Kirby that she liked it. So.
People like the quiz. Billy said he liked the quiz.
Who?
Yeah, Billy did.
Did he?
Oh, would you look at that? I've got a Skype update waiting to download. I'll just save it until just before the quiz starts in a few weeks, and I'll be fine.
Mine's been for about 4 months. I've just didn't touch it again.
There's a great series on, by the way, if you like nostalgic stuff, I've been watching a series on Sky Arts called Hollywood Couples. I think it's available in America. It's really beautifully put together documentaries about iconic relationships between Hollywood partners, like they did Clark Gable and... Who's he with? She got killed in an air crash.
Killed in the air crash, didn't she? Yeah. Lana Turner? No, not Lana Turner. Was it Lana Turner?
No. I can't remember it. But basically, they put these old bits of film together, shows bits of film, them acting in their movies in the 20s and 30s, and talks about their life and what happened after the relationships. Obviously, with her, it's with the air crash, and how Clark Gable coped for the rest of his life. But the photographs of the actors are beautiful. These 1920-30 portraits. Oh God! And
is the Doctor in any of them?
What?
I'm bringing it back to Doctor Who.
I'm just saying it. So I'm just like to talk occasionally about other programs that are really, really good. So Hollywood Couples, great show. What else we got on there?
Anyway, Stranger Things has got a great 80s tone to it. I really like it.
Stranger Things is absolutely superfluously brilliant.
Oh yeah.
I've still not watched it.
Why did I say superfluously brilliant? That just makes sense, doesn't it?
Superbly brilliant.
Oh, it's magnificent. The actors are absolutely superb. And the kids are wow. It's brilliant. Characterization, stories, suspense, a little bit of comedy here and there.
Are there any connections to Doctor Who in it?
Yeah, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Yeah, we're bringing it back to Doctor Who again.
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. There's the link. Brilliant TV. Yes. There's your link, okay? Fortunately, though, for us, Stranger Things, well, not fortunately, but Stranger Things won't last 50-odd years. Let's put it that way.
It might.
It probably won't. Big Bang Theory is another good series, but it's not on anymore.
Oh, yeah. Julia and I are finishing up. We're rewatching the next to last and then the last season of Big Bang. Mm. She just got the DVDs a couple of days ago.
Good. It's a great series. I'll tell you what, it's another great series, and it's underrated and get slated by sci-fi people. I'm currently watching Series 6 of Star Trek Voyager. Brilliant. It's picked up. They took a dip with Series 5. Series 6, each story is banging brilliant pieces of television.
I need to go and try and watch Voyager again. I petered out after, I think, 2 seasons.
There are a couple of duffers in it when they come up and they go, oh, shh, I've got to watch this one now. But most of them, especially, as I say, Series 6, so, so good. And obviously, they focus a lot on 7 of 9. I mean, she's an amazing actress anyway. She just lights up the screen.
My dad had a poster of her on the wall.
It's not to do with the boobs or anything. It really isn't. Jerry Ryan, we're talking about. Viewers, because we have to talk about her simply because, yes, it's a Doctor Who podcast. We're
Picard,
talking about sci-fi programs that are brilliant as well. Star Trek Picard is coming up soon, and it's the most exciting trailers I've ever seen for a TV show. the Star Trek Picard trailers, and to see obviously Jeri Ryan looking absolutely stunning.
I know she's
going to be playing
always been gorgeous,
and also the little cameos with other actors from the Next Gen series era, I should say. It's looking really, really exciting to see that. Very nostalgic.
And Data is suffering from the same thing that Crichton does nowadays on the Dwarf.
Yeah, I suppose I better stop talking now, shouldn't I?
He's got some extra programming in the hardware.
Okay. Now, Lillian Robbins says, I like the quiz. Y'all are funny. And then Laurie Nick said, the quiz is unique to this cast. Can't exclude it.
You two are cruel.
Oh, my gosh. I'm turning on us.
I think we've reached the time limit. That's why my speakers went off. Right then. So I suppose I better wrap it up because I want to have a bath and watch one of my programs that I've recorded. Actually, what do I want to watch?
I'm waiting for the new series of the Orville to come around.
Oh,
again.
Is it going to be one? I love that series so much.
Probably will be early next year that we'll see it again. I think it comes out in February or so.
Really? I mean, it means it comes out in America in February. That means we'll get it probably about May or something like that, I imagine.
The ones I've seen are very good, but
it's brilliant.
Run out of time to watch them.
Well, they've taken a really clever move with Orville. They started off making it as a comedy with a few bit of dramatic elements, but now they've made it more of a drama with a few comedy elements. Especially the one, there were some really, really heavy, you know, dramatic stories in series two. I'm thinking when Isaac turns and he goes back to his, you know, his home planet, and they risks everything basically. That was a really tense episode, but the balance perfect.
And they have to come in and save him.
Because the characters are so humorous, they're more human, and you attach yourselves to them more. It's brilliant. I mean, obviously is it Seth MacFarlane?
Seth MacFarlane.
What a bloody talented bloke he is.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh my God.
What a singer.
Pardon?
Oh yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah, as well. He was on the
prom.
He was on the proms a couple of years ago singing show tunes. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like him a little bit less now. He's a little bit too clever for my liking.
Holding a cocktail in a suit and singing like Brian, because obviously Brian is his bachelor voice. So, yeah, it was brilliant.
Oh, wow.
There's a story of before he made it big, he and Ron Perlman, who played Hellboy, the original Hellboy, were singing Frank Sinatra in kind of like a competition, and they'd take the mic from each other and say, thank you very much. Now I have to do better than that.
I think I saw that. Yes.
Yeah. He was in something else. It was on a film we were watching the other day, the cameo role, and I can't remember what it was now. But anyway, that's beside the point. Yes, there's so much good telly on at the moment. But, I mean, if you haven't watched Stranger Things, and I didn't, Isabella watched Stranger Things and was going on about it, then I hope none of the teachers are watching. Binge watch the whole of Series 3. On the day it came out, I thought, okay, I'll watch. I knew I was sort of get a heads up that you have to really sort of stick with it for the first half of series one and pay attention as well. It's quite important with TV shows. But once you're into it, then you realise what a masterpiece it is. It's absolute brilliance.
So you're saying I should soldier through the first series.
Force yourself to watch it.
Amazed that you have to. I was hooked from episode one.
I wasn't.
No, I mean,
I saw episode one and it was interesting, but I didn't continue.
You know, with Doctor Who, with Doctor Who,
but not that engaging, you know.
Yeah, but you know, with Doctor Who, there's certain scenes that you look forward to because you know they're coming. And you remember them. It's, what about that scene where whatever? In Stranger Things, there's a scene in which Mike, to prove that he loves his friends, basically steps out of a precipice, and that scene is so dramatic. He's forced by this bully to save a friend, to actually jump basically to what he thought was to his death. And obviously I'm not going to spoil what actually happened, but that whole scene is magnificent. There's also another scene in which it's like a base under siege thing where they're trapped in the house and all the demigorgons are attacking and the door opens and somebody steps in. Absolutely super.
Oh, yes.
Wow. It's just magical. Really, really good series. Anyway. But anyway, I suppose I better shut up now because it's been nearly 2 hours.
I'm trying to share the proms thing from Seth MacFarlane to you guys. And
what a clever girl you are, Debbie. I'm going to give you a ding for that.
Well, I'm not clever. It's not working.
No, I can't do the
You're
back.
Clever. Facebook isn't.
Yeah. Oh, it's American football. Who's playing? Right then, so we've also got the last comment. So Laurie Nix does a little emoji of looks like a dog having a bath. Is that what you're trying to imply there, Laurie? And then just says, have a nice bath. Cowboys versus Lions, and the Cowboys are winning 37-17. Sheldon Cooper would have known a little bit about this.
I would have thought Lions would be more likely to eat the Cowboys.
Trust you to ruin a sports reference.
I'm just being very pedantic.
Kirby, thud.
Right, okay, let's shut up then. Right, so 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time, we're going to aim for it and hope it happens. 2 weeks' time. Okay. 4.
Next time, two stories.
Black Orchid, Earthshock.
Back in 3 weeks' time.
Do questions then?
No.
Oh, actually, if you can, and you can do the Black Orchid and the Earthshock questions.
Okay,
and then if you fail, we can at least do the questions on Black Orchid and not do Earthshock at all.
No, I can. I'll do questions on both. There you go. It's the way I write my notes now.
Great.
So, until next time, thank you for listening, watching, and not bothering to provide feedback for the show or the ones that didn't. Thank you. Goodbye.
Sorry, mustache.
See ya.
Sorry,
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.